Hey, welcome to Midday Cafe, and I'm your host, Michael Giannotti, and today I have a special guest in the house, Aaron, I'm going to let you say your last name. So Aaron, who are you?
Aaron Harkelrode,
and Aaron, that's a fine hat you're sporting.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate the loan.
I like it, so welcome.
Thank you.
And Aaron, where are you from, and what do you do?
So I'm a solutions architect with a company called Vibrant Fusion.
We are Vibrant Fusion.
Like great
vibrant.
Name. Vibrant.
Colorful.
Fusion. We're a gold partner in the project and portfolio management space, and also a partner, a silver partner in the SharePoint, the collaboration space. So in addition to helping customers get project server and project online implemented and help with their PMO efficiency, my company also has a suite of add-on products that bolt on top of project server and project online. Our flagship product's called Quick PMO. So it's a turnkey, pre-configured solution accelerator for project server, project online. Helps customers get up and running with their processes, their workflows, their project management. And we have additional BI reporting products. If you go to vibrantfusion.com, you can take a look at all of the products that my company offers.
Very nice. So, I'm looking at my screen over here. We're doing double duty today here at Midday Cafe. So producer Steve is evidently out. And so I'm trying to remote control. I have the mouse over here and we turn screens around for all of our control screens. So I just need to see real quickly. There we go.
It's pretty impressive from my vantage point, all the levers that you're pulling.
And all the levers that we have here. So I've got, let's see, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's that. And then for some reason I'm seeing the preview over here. We are gonna figure this out. But at any rate, so let's go ahead and get started. And we'll get this as we go. So today, we're going to be talking about Project 2016. I'm very excited about that. So what's new in Project 2016? Aaron's going to be walking through. We've got there's a ton of new stuff in it, isn't there?
A lot of new features, new enhancements.
So for those of you who are in Project Realm, we look forward to talking about that. I do want to briefly click through a few things here. So number one, talk to us, folks. We want to hear from you. So as you have questions and things that you'd like to ask us, a couple of things to take note of. First of all, if you're watching this broadcast, then down below you will notice there's a little box for Yammer. If you're not logged in, you should be. If you were one of those who registered for this event, your name was added to the Yammer thing. So if you're not seeing it in your email, there should have been a little invite for you just a little bit ago. Check your junk mail. You may have junked it. But you can use Yammer certainly to converse with us. We'd love to hear from you. Post your questions. I will be monitoring them here as we go. The other thing is this. If you don't have that, if you're not in there, don't despair. So two other ways that you can get a hold of us today to ask questions during the session. Number one, Twitter. Hey, go out on my Twitter feed. Love to hear from you. At Giannotti, G-A-N-N-O-T-T-I, G-A-N-N-O-T-T-I. You can tweet me there. I'll be monitoring that here as well. And finally, I've got email open here locally. So if you need to, you can always email us at Worldwide MTC Studios. That's a mouthful. Yes. Worldwide MTC Studios. One word, at Outlook.com. So go ahead. Any one of those three ways. Love to hear from you. Any kind of questions, concerns, whatever. We want to hear from you today, so talk to us. If you don't, if you're quiet, well then you're quiet, and don't say we didn't ask you. So, to start off, before we kick over to Project, we do have some tech news. In fact, there's a lot going on in the world
Absolutely.
Of Microsoft. You see all that right there,
That's
right? That's a lot. Look at all that back here. In back of us on the green, on our green screen, I feel like the weather lady. And here we have. Actually, I'm doing it backwards. And here we have.
Stay out of this storm.
See, it's
right
all
here.
Opposite. Yeah. I'm like, this is all. It's over here. I could never be a weatherman. So here we go. So we've got a lot of news. We're going to actually pull up those articles. So let me go ahead, get out of there, and I'm just going to go straight to. Dun, 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 dun. right here. And we're going to bring that up. And our first article is on the evolution of Microsoft Fast Track. So, and by the way, for all of you who are tuned in, we will have links to all this in the on-demand session after the fact. So after the break, you know, check back at WWMTCstudios.com. We'll have all out there. So don't despair. So the evolution of Microsoft Fast Track, the customer success service. So if you are a Microsoft customer and you are moving to the cloud, sometimes people do this. And it's not they're not on a roller coaster, although they may feel like they're on a roller coaster.
Right.
You ever do that on a roller coaster?
Absolutely. Of course.
But you're on the Office 365 migration track, and you're like, what do I do? Well, Fast Track is Microsoft service for customers that enables you to get up to speed quickly. So we are changing the benefits of that. We continue to evolve it. There's a whole bunch of new stuff coming down the pike. Check out the article. We want to help you. If you're somebody who's, you know, looking at moving over to Office 365, want to do the migration, SharePoint, Exchange, Skype for Business, you should be leveraging Fast Track. There's a lot of great stuff there for you. So if you don't know about it, take a look at my link after the fact, but also talk to your Microsoft rep. Best way to get started. That's my first little tidbit. Secondly, also coming from the Office blogs, in fact, there's a bunch of them. This might look interesting to you, Aaron. I don't know.
Perfect project. Well, that's a unicorn.
That's a unicorn with an ninja cat.
Exactly.
Breathing fire. So, yeah, the Project Manager's Guide to Planning a Perfect Project. It's kind of like a Zen moment.
Absolutely.
So, hey, look at that. He even has his hands out with things floating in the air. Awesome. So there's a whole article on this. And it talks about they have some basic tips. And so I'm actually looking here. We're scrolling up on my touch screen. And it has established clear goals. So they have, really, when I looked at this article, I thought, this is kind of project management for dummies.
Yeah, well.
Not to say that any of you are dumb. But it's, it's kind of like the basics, right?
Sure.
Some basic things that you need to keep in mind. And really, if you're getting it started with projects and you're not, a project whiz bang and it's just some basic, this is not about technology. This is about some basic processes, best practices, and things that you should think about. None of which ties to any particular tech.
True.
Although we're gonna talk tech today.
We're definitely gonna talk specific tech.
We're gonna talk specific. So, but this is just some things to keep in mind. When I saw this, actually what I thought of was years ago I worked at, I won't say their name, but I was corporate systems architect for the second largest mutual fund company in the world. You can look it up. And when I was there, they gave us, it was by one of the consultants, it was their book they had written on how you manage projects, and we were supposed to follow that. And I was like looking at it, and it was like, it guaranteed that anybody, that was much more in depth than this.
Right.
But it walked through, and it was kind of like, if you knew nothing about a project, it guaranteed, you may not do it great, but you could get through from point A to B and you would deliver. So at any rate, some basic tips and tricks. Take a look. We'll have the link again after the break for you. The next one is one of my favorite.
Sway.
So do you sway?
I sway. When it's called for, I sway.
You sway. Now, sure. Do you sway with the tool sway or do you sway on the dance floor?
Both?
You mix it up?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. So I like to sway. When I go to a wedding, when my wife and I, we go to a wedding, we do a little bit of sway to the music. But this is about sway, the tool, which rocks if you're telling stories, doing, all kinds of multimedia, news stories, etc. Sway is a great tool. And they have added now, we've had an app for iOS for a while, but now they've added OneDrive for Business integration. So now you can leverage OneDrive for Business as one of your resources for pulling in information, imagery, etc. If you're on iOS, check it out. It's very cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. I love cool. Because we like to be cool here. Compliance. This I thought was kind of interesting. So we have a lot of folks that are, in fact, I'd say the second most requested session I do here now is on security and I've been mentioned. Look at that.
All right.
Who were yours? The best RTs this week. All right. So at any rate, compliance. I get asked a lot about security, compliance in the cloud, et cetera. We have made a whole program we have about for, and typically, you know, we've offered stuff under NDA to customers, but now for financial services, we have a whole program that will get your financial services organization compliant in the cloud with Office 365. You should definitely be taking a look at this. This is, there's a whole bunch of things here with links, et cetera. I'm not going to go through it all, but we will have a link after the break that you're going to want to check out. Time grouping enhancements. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, you'll love this. You can time travel with Excel now. Did you know that?
Awesome. I did not know that.
Yes. It has replaced the TARDIS. Is that the name?
Is that a Doctor Who reference?
I'm trying to make a Doctor Who reference. You failed.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's another one.
Can't.
Aaron, you have failed this program. Do you know that reference?
Sorry.
Aaron is Sadly, not you're not an Arrow fan either. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to school Aaron. At any rate, they have all kinds of cool stuff around groupings with time references. And they actually, what I love about this is it's one of those ones that takes you through an example step by step. So if you're needing to do some really cool visualizations that group things around time in Excel, this is an article you're going to want to take a look at. It's for Excel 2016. Some of the new features there that make it easier.
Very cool.
He's going to talk about Project 2016. This is Excel. Skype for Business iOS app now available. So if you're on iOS, you no longer have to use Link. Link is dead. Rest in peace. You can be using Skype for Business. So the new Skype for Business app is out. You can join the rest of the world like myself, who's been doing that for a while on Windows Phone, on Windows. It's now there for iOS. So take a look. It is pretty cool, and it is built for touch on your device. This one was pretty cool. I'm not going to play the video and all that. But if you're into BI, you know, visualizations,
right?
I thought this was cool. This is the Lotus F1 team and how they're using Microsoft Power BI. They're using Office 365, Power BI to actually drive their team. And it talks about how they generate terabytes of data on a regular basis. They monitor everything around from all the metrics and data that's being pulled out in real time from that auto as it's going to the things in the pit stop to the stuff with their team, projects, etc. All kinds of data they're capturing on a constant basis, and how they visualize it is Office 365 and Power BI. And they have a whole video on it. Very cool. You'll want to check that out after the break if you are doing anything around visualization. Last but not least, Ignite. So we were just talking about
it.
So if you would like to talk to the Office 365 team, including the SharePoint Online team with folks like Mark Cashman, Mark Mraz, Jeff Teeper, and others, the Exchange team, the Skype for Business team, all the folks around, Project Online team, they're all
there.
So if you want to talk to all these different folks, Ignite is the place. Last year it was in Chicago in the spring. It has been moved. It is now in Atlanta, September 26th through the 30th. My boss doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to be there. He doesn't know. He's sending me. Yeah. So at any rate, love to see you there. You want to talk to the office folks, that's the place to be. So you want to take a look. There's links to it. You can start pre-registering now to ensure that you're going to be in during the conference.
Excellent.
So that's my last office one. Real quickly, and then we're done here. A couple of Windows ones. Camera Magic on the Lumia 950 and Lumia 950 XL. The 950 XL is the phone I will be getting in several weeks when it hits the stands. But they talk about here how they're very excited. And one of the things that I love about the Lumia phones is the camera. So they talk about all the stuff going on with it, how it's using PureView 20 megapixel camera, with an advanced BSI sensor, Zeiss optics, triple LED natural flash, so it's not just, you know, the old kind of really cool stuff. Fifth generation optical image stabilization, ISO 12800, 4K video recording, and the front-facing one's a 5-megapixel wide-angle front-facing camera. This thing rocks. And they go through, they actually have some imagery and stuff. You're going to want to check this out. You can click on the images like they have here. You can click on I mean, look at this thing. This is crazy, right? So zoom in.
Wow.
Look at the kind of detail we're talking, folks, right back here. On a water drop, that is a phone. That's a phone that did that.
You can make calls with it.
Booyah. And you can, and by the way, you can make phone calls. So very cool stuff. You'll want to check that out after the break. We're going to have a link to that. And again, and then they go through low light imaging, camera as a mind reader. I thought this was cool. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Rich capture mode, innovative flash. So again, you know, for those of you who are looking, look at zooming in. This is this young lady overlooking a skyline, boom, with a flash picture. So this is the kind of stuff we're talking about with the new Lumia cameras. They're going to rock, and they will be here next month, and I'm going to be getting that. Second to last article, building sites and web apps for every device. This is a great one. If you're not a programmer, this is built. This actually is part of a series geared towards non-programmers. Check it out. They have a whole series on building sites and web apps for every device using Windows and Windows services. And finally, I'm going to have this posted as well, the five best Surface and Windows Phone app of the weeks, including PicHit, Doodle God, you can be a god of doodling, Slots Pro. I don't know why would you want slots. Are we encouraging gambling, Microsoft? Pixstar, and then finally NASCAR, as my daughter would say. My daughter grew up in North Carolina.
Right.
My daughter likes NASCAR, and she says it with an accent. NASCAR, Dad, let's go to NASCAR. That's from my daughter. So at any rate, there we go. That's it for me this week for tech news. And that's all we got there. So without further ado, let's go full screen with that.
All right.
And while I get you rolling, I'm going to hand over. You have the controls.
The mouse. I have the power.
So we're going to turn that over to Aaron. And Aaron, I believe you're going to start talking to us now about
new features in Project 2016.
New features. And as he goes, again, questions. I will be looking across several fronts, like I mentioned, including Yammer and others. So, you know, feel free, Yammer or at Gennotti, at Gannotti on Twitter. I'll be taking a look at that. So you can ping me around that. And then finally, you can email us at worldwide MTC Studios@outlook.com. So why don't you go ahead? I'm going to duck down so that we can go full screen here
full
in a
screen.
Moment.
All right.
As we're having. No, you come on in. And here we go.
Here we go. Down below.
All right, so I'm going to talk about a handful of new features and enhancements in Project 2016, Project Online, Project Server 2016. And as you are seeing these, a lot of people are probably going to be wondering, you know, when exactly do these new features become available? The answer to that is it depends. So if you are a Project Online customer, so if you're using Microsoft's Office 365 service for project management, known as Project Online, these features are going to be lit up over the course of the next several months. If you're signed into one of those environments as an administrator, you'll notice if you look at the little yellow band that's on the middle of the screen here, for instance, one of my customers already has had some of these features turned on. You'll see sort of a visual indicator that some new features have been added to your environment, and you'll be able to go to your settings page and decide when you want to turn those on or off. If you are an on-premises customer, so if you're one of those customers that likes to have the applications in their own data center and you're using Project Server 2010, Project Server 2013, whatever version, you'll get access to these new features when you upgrade to Project Server 2016. The first major feature that I'm going to talk about is called resource engagements. What this addresses is the fact that historically there's never really been a governance process when a PM needs to find the right resources for their project and get them on their project team. So a project manager or a resource manager, they can use a tool called Build Team from Enterprise, shows you the resources that are in the enterprise pool. And you can use that to add resources to the project team. But there isn't really any essence of like a request or a workflow around that. You had to use, you know, permission. So if you didn't want the project managers to do that, you want only the resource managers to do that, you really could only govern it through permissions. But now we have sort of a whole governance process built in, and we're going to take a look at what that's going to look like in the interface itself. So what you're seeing here, if I'm a project manager and I'm signed in to Project Online, and I have the Project Professional application open, and I have one of my projects open that's stored in Project Online.
Now, I got a quick question. That says a new engagement request.
That is a new engagement
request. So my son just got engaged. Is that similar?
Similar. Hello? You don't have to marry the person you're putting on the project team here.
But, well, that's good to know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just so we're clear on that.
But basically, what we're doing here is if you look on the engagements tab, you'll notice on the lower left here, resource plans. PMs are already familiar with what a resource plan is. It's been used for years to do the initial planning of your project. It's not the schedule itself, but it's where you go and you want to say, hey, I need 100 hours of developer and 50 hours of an analyst and, you know, 30 hours of me, a project manager. So you build your LOE, you know, your level of effort estimate, your high, you know, ROM estimate in the resource plan. These are getting replaced with this resource engagements process. So PM can come here and they can say, you know, hey, I need, you can either use a generic or a real resource, I need Iris starting June 1st, going to the end of July to get some work done. They can submit that and the PM can take a look, still on the resource plan here, they can take a look at all of the requests that they've submitted, what status they're currently sitting at. So I have some that are still proposed.
Oh, very
I can
cool.
see, yeah, one was rejected here. So, you know, probably Allie has a little bit too much on her plate already.
And she might be a little sad to be rejected.
She would definitely want to be on my project team.
I feel dejected when I get rejected.
I do too. So as a PM, you know, once I've filled out some engagement requests, I can hit submit and it'll route that to a resource manager. So
nice.
If I sort of switch hats here, and now I'm signed in as a resource manager. So if I have a line of folks underneath me, you know, the folks mm-hmm. that report up to me, I have the best visibility, or should have anyway, in what they're doing. You know,
right.
So what's on their plate from day
yep.
to day, and you know, strategically even for the next 6 months, what are they doing? So now the resource managers actually have this approval interface here where they can go in, they can see the requests coming for various resources across different projects, and they can make decisions on those requests.
Okay.
But they don't have to make those decisions in the blind, because also included as a new feature and enhancement is this resource capacity heat map.
The heat map.
So
if it's too hot, get out of the kitchen.
Exactly.
You can't take
exactly.
the heat. But
yeah.
here, so what's this heat map showing us?
So what we're seeing here, instead of just looking at a grid of assignments and requests and, you know, me sort of having to figure it out on my own if the resource actually has availability, the heat map will show you. I mean, I can see looking at Allie here across the first several weeks of June,
right.
she's over-allocated. That's why it's showing in red. So there's no possible way she's going to be putting in 80-hour weeks, but yet we have requests coming in across a couple different projects that
yeah,
are looking for
time.
Exactly.
And we don't want to burn her out.
We don't want her working this 96-hour week in the middle of June.
No.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
But I can see the other resources that I have, you know, in my purview here, and I could say, well, you know what? Maybe as a resource manager, what I would suggest is perhaps Kat should take on some of this information or some of these requests
here. She's kind of slacking there.
She is. So as a resource manager, you know, it kind of enhances the whole collaborative effort. It's going to
mm-hmm.
go back and forth between the PMs and the resource
Very
managers.
Nice.
So as a resource manager, I can come up here in the ribbon. I can reject it. Or I can edit the engagement and say perhaps, well, you know what? You can use Kat. You can't have her 100% during that request period. But you can have, you know, 50%. If she works an 8-hour day, you can have her for 4 hours a day,
gotcha.
You know, for this time period
uh-huh.
here. And then when all is said and done, you're going to end up with the right resources on your project team, not just a resource that some PM decided to grab
right.
and put on their project team and assign work to. So it really is enhancing the collaborative effort that should be going on already between the project managers and the resource managers.
Very nice.
Next major area is a pretty overhauled UI or a user interface in the Project Online and Project Server. Sphere. So when a user signs in to Project Online or Project Server, those of you that use those applications, they're very rich, they're very robust.
Mm-hmm.
And customers going to them for the first time
yeah.
from some other PPM tool or from not coming from a PPM tool at all, maybe using Excel to
right.
manage projects, with a tool that robust, it is kind of easy to get confused sometimes and you know, they think, okay, now again, when do I go to the project site to, you know, to perform some activity, or when do I open the project in Project Pro, or when do I just go into the project center? So a lot of times there's a little disconnect between where the various
right.
activities actually take place within the tool itself. And they're making some really good strides in that area. So
they are making improvements there. That's
absolutely.
Good to know. So because really you're talking, you just said three different places to go.
That's right. When I create a project in Project Online, you see it when you go into the project center,
right.
but there's also a SharePoint site, typically, anyway, for every project
gotcha.
That gets created.
Yep.
And certain things live down at that SharePoint site. Documents that you upload, the risks and issues list,
right,
they live
right.
down there. But the bouncing back and forth sometimes between the Project Online site and a specific project site, you know, it does takes a little while to get used to.
Sure.
So a lot of this redesign is going to help with that a lot.
So, and you know what I think of when I think of this? When I think of, when I think, which is rare, but when I do think, what it reminds me of is, you know, when we look at just the overall emphasis around Office 365, is a lot of the services, when they first came online,
mm-hmm.
were very much silos. And so you have
right.
Project Online, but it also sits on top of SharePoint.
It
so
does.
You're generating all this SharePoint stuff, and then you got project stuff, and it's really about that integration and kind of starting to put the product increasingly back and bring the integrated service more forward.
Exactly, yeah,
yeah.
Functionality.
Yeah,
let's not
yeah.
worry about what specific
yeah,
you know, app we're in right now.
A project manager doesn't really care about that. Just wants
no.
to get his work done.
Exactly.
His or her work, right?
Exactly, yeah. So starting with
cool.
you know, a new sort of centralized landing page for, you know, for PMs that need to download Project Pro, easy way to find where that is, to sign up for a Project Online trial if you're a customer interested in taking a look. Or signing into your existing environment, you know, unified landing page there. With regards to help, you know, historically, I would say that the online help with this, you know, if you
mm-hmm.
click the question mark, it's been, you know, maybe not
hey,
quite
you,
completely
you
helpful.
You don't have to be nice to me.
So,
so it's
yeah.
not been the most forthcoming.
Exactly.
In its information.
Exactly.
Is
so
it a little
I'm
better
trying,
now?
Exactly. If I'm trying to figure out how to do something in here historically, I'm going to open my browser, go to Bing, and you know, type in what I'm trying to do, and then rely on
no,
hopefully
wait
somebody
a minute,
posting.
So you're
but
showing
now,
me tell me in
but,
the browser.
Well.
Because I actually talked about tell me on it, which I love.
Yeah.
Because the Office help in the past has, at least for me, let's Master Chief was not pleased. He came looking for the help folks because you know what? I'd go into help and it'd be like, it's to your point.
Right.
It wasn't very helpful necessarily.
Right. Right.
Tell me, I flip and love because it gives me not only how to's, but it actually gives me the commands and click and go with commands and all
exactly.
that right there.
Exactly. So not so much instructions on, you know, click this menu
yeah.
and then go down. It's a link in there. So it, you know, kind of
so
leads you.
You're saying because this looks like, this is online. This is not project, even though it looks like.
It looks like Microsoft Project. Well, that's another big enhancement. The distinction between Project Pro
right.
and the web interface for editing projects
so
is becoming a
we?
Much more narrow distinction. I mean, the functionality while you're in the browser is much closer to the full functionality that you've had in Project Pro.
That's very
so,
nice.
So we are in
Master
Project Online.
Chief is pleased.
Exactly. But if you need to bounce over to Project Pro, so
right.
there are still going to be a few things that the feature exists in Project Pro. It doesn't exist in the browser. But it's real easy now to bounce back and forth between those two interfaces.
Gotcha.
You know, and other details. So when I've navigated into a particular project, I've accessed something known as the Project Center. A lot of times the way it's set up is you'll have all of these project details that you know, really historically kind of took up a lot of space on the left-hand side.
Right.
Now, you know, as you go back and forth, you can collapse, expand those project details pages so that if I'm working on a schedule, let's give a little bit more screen real estate to the schedule that I'm managing and a little bit less to those hyperlinks.
So, and this should be very familiar for folks who've been using since the last version, 2013, if they've been using Outlook.
Absolutely,
we had that
yeah.
exact same kind of little, you know, the idea being at that time was that if you had a tablet, you know, we had a tablet like this, you have thumbs and you
yep.
could minimize, expand, right, your views.
Right.
Doing the same here.
Exactly.
Very nice.
Exactly. Yep.
I like that. It's kind of like learning carrying forward.
It is kind of like that. Another big step. With the tasks, individual tasks in a schedule. It's always been easy to associate a risk or an issue or upload a document to the project site But if that artifact is directly relevant to a task in the mm-hmm. schedule, at best, it's been a little bit convoluted how you would actually link, you know, let's say a risk to a task in the
right.
schedule. Or if you wanted to attach a document, that functionality just flat out didn't exist before. Now it's right in Project Pro or the web schedule. So if I'm editing a task, I have a little drop-down menu. If I want to edit an attachment, that's pretty cool. If I want to start up a discussion with some folks on the project team, and you know, utilize the SharePoint discussion feature,
very
however
nice.
Linked to the task itself, so people can track it.
So
right
that
there.
Brings up a question.
Mm-hmm.
Putting us back on screen. So that brings up a question. So, you know, with discussions, and this actually
right.
came up last week with a customer.
Mm-hmm.
They asked, well, because you mentioned it's
right.
using SharePoint discussions there.
Yes.
And they asked, they said, why isn't that Yammer? And it wasn't Project, it was another one that had integrated discussions.
Right.
And they wanted to know why we weren't leveraging Yammer for that integrated discussion. Well, typically when we talk about a project, there is associated with that project all kinds of sensitive corporate data, some of which may have, you know, PHI, may have, you know,
exactly.
compliance implications.
Right.
And while Yammer is the, make no doubt about it, it is, as we go forward increasingly, the microblogging discussion service for us.
Right.
Today, that is not integrated into the Compliance Center. This, though,
exactly.
is. So when we're talking about doing e-discovery, deep, you know, data protection, when we're talking about, you know, going ahead and doing a full audit, that kind of stuff falls under that, and we can mine all that and legal hold and do all the
indeed.
Good stuff.
Indeed, right. With the security and
with
know,
it all
the
baked
peace
in.
Of mind, right, that
right.
you're not going to see your sensitive project information showing up on some social network out there.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah, so,
be
you know, so folks, will that one day be Yammer? Very well, maybe. But today, we want to make sure you're staying compliant, so hence discussions as is.
Indeed.
Very nice.
Indeed, yeah. So just a couple more screens on this. So if I do attach a document
mm-hmm.
To a task in the project, I can see right over here the attachments and open them right from the tool itself.
Oh, sweet.
So again, I don't need a separate tab in my browser open to go to the project site, open the document up.
Now,
nothing
to open
like
that. To open that PowerPoint, for example, though, I would have to, of course, have the right version of PowerPoint on my desktop.
Well, that kind of depends. There's a configuration, so you can set the default to open in the app if you have it.
Or
you can use the Office web app.
So I can get to it via
right
anywhere.
Exactly.
You can, that's very nice.
If you're already in a browser, which you are here, you can edit and open those Office
as long as I've authenticated
well.
Properly.
Correct.
I could have
Correct.
Went to Grandma's house over the river and through the woods. I dropped my laptop when I went over the river.
Yeah.
And I can get onto Granny's PC.
Her,
do my two-factor auth and pick up and rock
her
and roll.
Her Windows Me desktop computer.
Her Windows
know.
Me.
Yeah.
What about Bob?
Or
awesome. Yes. Very cool.
Indeed.
All right.
Of course, you know, Link and now Skype for Business, that's been integrated for a while. But, you know, again, the ability to IM or call somebody directly from the plan itself,
mm-hmm.
It's right here. However, Skype's not always appropriate for, you know, certain types of conversations, because once the conversation ends, it kind of, you know, disappears into the ether. So again, perhaps starting a discussion around some tasks in a schedule, that's going to stay attached to that task, and you'll be able to go back and
Very
review
nice.
That at any time. So yeah. And here you're seeing how the risks and issues also have their identification icon there. And again, access the risk and issue directly from here. So no bouncing back and forth between the project site and the schedule itself. And sort of like how we had the resource heat map a little bit ago,
yep.
Here with issues and risks, we have a little prioritization matrix that shows us for the risks and issues that have been logged for this project, you know, how many of them are high probability and high impact or moderate impact. So, you know, kind of shows you where you are with relationship to your risk exposure within the project. Another big new feature here is for customers that are in Project Online.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Dynamic CRM. Wait a minute, this is integrating CRM?
Well,
or
I mean, that's
what are we getting?
That's probably coming, but what we're really looking at here is a CRM deployment project that's been loaded into
Project
Online.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm pretty sure that some level of integration with CRM
okay.
is down the pike.
No,
also.
This is still sweet, though.
Yeah.
So this is their deploying CRM.
Exactly. Exactly.
Got it.
But so now you have an ability to take some snapshots of your data over time. And one of the minor gaps between the functionality of Project Online and a customer who deployed Project Server on-premises has been that in online, you haven't really had an ability to, you know, take periodic backups of your data. That's kind of all controlled, you know, by Microsoft themselves. Whereas you could, you know, you could do snapshots in an on-premises. Again, that distinction sort of disappearing a little bit, and you now have snapshots so that you can view trends within your project over time period. So I can see for the past 5 weeks, I can see that I have a lot of, you know, I have, let's say, very few risks right now, but how many did I have 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? So you have some snapshot dashboards. Oops, I advanced one too many. And then kind of tying along that same thing is now in Project Online, you're able to roll back to a previous version of the schedule.
Oh, very nice.
So I went in my schedule and I accidentally deleted 10 tasks. Oops, I did not mean to do that.
Undelete.
Well,
or undo or roll back or what do we call that?
That's been kind of sadly lacking in the online one. Because again, you've got to open a ticket, get them to restore data for you.
And we all love opening tickets.
Exactly, exactly. But now you're able to roll back to previous versions of your project.
Very nice. So what are we talking now?
Okay, so kind of shifting gears a little bit into a separate area.
Program
and portfolio management in here.
Portfolio management.
So a lot of times, customers will have multiple projects that are, you know, they're sort of aligned and together, you know, they drive towards a higher benefit than just doing the projects individually. So, you know, if you look up the PMI definition of what a program is, that's sort of similar to what
the
I just
PMI.
Paraphrased.
PMI, what is the PMI?
The Project Management Institute.
Wow.
So programs, so I need to load a program into here, and I need to manage my program, which consists of 4 or 5 projects, or I need to do the same thing kind of at a higher level but with a portfolio.
Okay.
For the past few versions of Project Server and in Project Online, you've had a portfolio analysis tool,
right,
which is hugely powerful, which is tremendous in giving you an ability to analyze your incoming demands. So, you know, I've got internal departments and or customers that you want to do this handful of 6-7 projects coming up in, you know, early part of 2016.
Right.
Do we have the resource capacity to do it? Do we have the budget to do it? If I align them with some of my in-flight projects, how do they fit in strategically? Are they higher priority, lower priority? The portfolio analysis tool has been great at giving you that kind of information for, you know, the past several versions. But what's been lacking in the tool is you didn't really have an object or an entity in there that represents the portfolio or the program. So like day to day, you know, I talked about risks and issues with a project. You log a risk, you log an issue with the project.
Yep.
That's great. What about the 6 projects that are in my program? And now I want to have that information roll up. I want it to aggregate up to my program level. Well,
so this is that macro level.
This is that macro level that they've added into the product now. So
very nice.
What we have is,
so let's take a look at that.
Okay.
Alrighty.
So we now have the ability to define programs in here. And you can create a program and associate whichever projects are part of that program. And you'll get automatic roll-ups of information. So if you want to see how the costs of those projects are aggregating up to the program level, you have risks, issues, things along that lines. You have it for both portfolios and programs.
And this, it says it's out of the box.
It's out of the
box. So nothing else to purchase or get. It's
nothing
just
else
there.
To purchase. You just have to configure the settings and you're
very
ready
cool.
to go. Yep.
Nice.
And projects will still be able to exist independently of a program or portfolio. A project doesn't have to be associated with a program. And, you know, programs can exist independently of a portfolio in here.
Gotcha.
But you can also, you know, you have the ability to combine those and again derive the added benefit of that. Plus some visual cues here of how the projects go and where it's being managed. This is kind of neat. In Project Pro, or in this case, you know, Project Online, the web version of that, we've never had these little like sparklines in Excel. So
rather than just
looking at some grids of information, I can see how I'm actually
some
trending.
Visuals there. Yeah.
Exactly. I can see how my risks, issues, or the work is trending. Okay. And this just points out what I said already. So a program can exist independently of a portfolio, as can a project. And your out-of-the-box reports and dashboards. So Project 2010, I believe. It may have been 2007, but I think probably more Project Professional 2010 introduced some really compelling reports built in where you could go and take a look at your project, you know, your burn down, take a look at, you know, some dashboards on issues, risks, cost, work, stuff like that. But again, all of that was at the individual project level. So you can see that for your project. I can see it for my project, okay? Joe can't really see that for all of our projects in the aggregate because we really didn't have program roll-ups or portfolio roll-ups. But now, with the program enhancements and portfolio enhancements, we're able to go to some dashboards here and easily get some actionable insight into what's going on within our program. All right.
Native apps.
Native apps.
Ooh. Okay. So I like this. So this is where we're going to start looking at some of that native experience. And, you know, because a lot of folks, the web is great, but increasingly users are expecting to leverage something like this to get an app view, right?
They're not going to lug their laptop everywhere.
They don't want to lug their laptop.
They have these smaller
devices.
The
laptop. Yeah.
It sits in their pocket, you know. And up until now, you know, if I opened, say, a project online in, an iPad or, a Windows phone.
Yep.
I was just kind of getting a smaller.
Oh, it just kind of took it all, and then.
Yeah.
So for like the guy with like me with old man eyes, even my reading glasses couldn't
help. Put the glasses on.
I'd be like.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
So you were just kind of seeing the same browser interface you would see on a laptop scaled down. Now, I mean, there have been third-party add-ons.
Sure.
And actually, in some of these cases, these enhancements that I'm talking about, some of them have been acquisitions. So some of them, you know, were other companies that had, you know, had perhaps a pay-for app in the app store. Now it's going to become part of the tool
right there
natively.
Very nice.
And I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that some of these might fit into that category where before you had to pay for them, now it's going to become part of the
you're just
project
get
online
it.
Offering.
Oh,
exactly.
That's nice.
Exactly. So now, you know, so if I am carrying around a tablet device of some sort.
A tablet device. You can say what it is. I see the apple in the corner.
Okay, so if I have my iPad.
Where's my sword?
I'm not seeing the same browser screen that I see when I'm on my Lenovo laptop.
Just real quickly, this fits right in with what we've been talking about. I mean, Satya Nadella and I talk about this all the time. I love to make my little jabs at Apple and Android. But, you know, really, it comes down to Satya Nadella has said, look, we are a mobile-first, cloud-first company, which means we are delivering. You know, I talked earlier about Sway and having that native experience on iOS, right?
Right.
And so being able to do that, we want to enable, it's really around anywhere, anytime, any device access to our stuff in the cloud.
Right.
And so, you know, we would love you all to have like a Surface. Surface, brought to you by Microsoft. But the fact is we know a lot of folks have iPads and other devices. So
So
I'm not gonna
a better interface.
Master
now.
Chief, I can't vouch for what he might do. He's eyeballing you right now, but I'll be fine.
So your mobile device flavor.
Our flavor, whatever you want,
right?
Including a Mac and that I like
that,
Macintosh apples.
That peach looking. Or
I
apple
went to an apple
right,
orchard
right,
this
right.
weekend.
Tis the season. Had some good cider donuts this weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, very good.
We did too.
Very good.
My daughter claimed my second bag of them and said, we're not to touch them. I've already eaten one of them.
Oh.
Yes.
So here I am.
All right,
on my
go
iPad.
Ahead. Let's take a look here.
And, you know, I mean, I don't want to have to constantly be pinch zooming in or anything like that. I just want quick, easy touch. I want to, you know, let's say I want to report some progress that I've made on a few tasks this week. So I can just simply go down, you know, go to the tasks tile or the task tab.
Yeah.
And
so this is really touch friendly for that device.
Exactly.
Yep. Good.
Touch friendly for all of those devices. So I need to, you know, drill down, get some actionable insights here. Take a look. Do I have a fair amount of tasks that are overdue? Do I have a lot of tasks upcoming? I've got that information very legibly now at my fingertips on the device. And for interactive reporting. So
now I do want to point something out in the bottom of this device here. There is a window symbol.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
So that's what it could look like for you on that new 950 XL Lumia. Just saying, folks.
There you go.
But if you'd like, yes, you can choose the little cute robot-y looking guy or that or fruit. We won't cry. I'll cry, but we'll be fine. All right.
But whichever one you choose, you're
whatever
have,
you and that again, anywhere, yep. Anytime, any device.
Exactly.
All right.
You're gonna have this nice streamlined, touch-friendly interface.
I'll be quiet. So I'm gonna go sulk.
So here's my describe new product idea task that was assigned to me. I got 16 hours of remaining work, and I did 4 hours on Tuesday, 4 hours on Wednesday. I don't want to see a tiny little grid on my mobile phone,
right,
here, where I'm trying,
yep,
to, again, pinch zoom and type numbers in. I can touch the button. I can hit another easily accessed button and just say 50% complete.
So we're talking touch optimized, going from a smartphone to a tablet up to the PC.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
And of course, single source of truth in the back end. So if I reported a little bit of time on my phone here, and mm-hmm, I logged in from my laptop and reported,
yep,
a little bit of time in a timesheet, it's
very
all
nice.
It's all going to the same, centralized.
It's all one centralized piece. Very
exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
Now, real quickly, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So I'm a project manager.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not.
Condolences.
I don't even play one on TV. But I'm a project manager, let's say. And so I'm doing work in the client project.
Yeah.
And my folks are updating tasks and stuff here in their device. So am I going to see that in my project files?
Eventually you will, yeah. So once that information that they send gets received by, by Project Online,
yeah,
and you open the project plan up the next time, or
yeah,
if you were in there already, it'll auto refresh in the
go
background.
Go ahead and synchronize.
Yes, that information will come in. Now, as the project manager, you have the ability to see these updates. They call them status updates,
yeah,
coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you say, I don't really think you did 32 hours of work on that task yesterday, you still have the same capabilities
I can
to
control
review,
and
accept,
review,
reject,
and
all,
gotcha,
all the
so,
same capabilities.
So you mean I can't be on the project and fake my time? I'd like to say I'm doing 80
well,
hours.
You can, but a good PM should catch that and keep that.
That would look great for my year-end review.
Keep that noise from polluting,
yeah, good,
the project data.
Awesome. Okay.
Exactly.
So moving on.
All right. Moving on. Financial management.
Financial.
So project financials, establishing a budget for a project. Again, there's been a capability there for a while, but it hasn't been the most user-friendly or PM-friendly or PMO-friendly way.
PMO-friendly.
PMO,
yes.
Project Management Office or Officer. To establish your budget overall for the project.
It's my budget.
Yeah, you can give it to me later. And then track against that budget.
Right.
You used to use a special type of resource in the resource pool called a budget resource.
Okay.
You would add it to the project schedule.
All right.
You would assign it to what's called the project summary, or basically task zero at the very top. And it was not impossible, but difficult to represent different types of budget, like labor budget, hardware budget, travel expenses,
okay,
things like that.
Yep.
And also relatively difficult to show a timeline proportioning of the budget.
Gotcha.
A lot of projects don't just get, here's your 20 grand all up front, or your,
right,
200 grand all
or
up front.
$20.
Or $20. Yeah, you might be getting, 50% of it in the first fiscal quarter, and
gotcha,
then another, et cetera, et cetera. So just a much, much more intuitive and user-friendly experience,
right,
for handling the budget and the project financials. So here what we're seeing, it kind of sort of represents a SharePoint list when you're in the quick edit,
right,
mode, but
right,
it's not that exactly, but still, the interface and the experience is going to be similar for people that are familiar with that already.
Very nice.
But your ability to establish different types of budgets here, internal, external, hardware, software, travel, and then to lay it out over time phase periods, and then track against that budget with your actuals, you're going to have that in the financial management add-on that's now,
very nice,
going to be incorporated. Okay. Additionally, you have the ability, so let's say that we talked about the program handling a little bit ago. Let's say we have a program with three or four projects in it, and
mm-hmm,
one of those projects is actually running somewhere in Europe, so they're not using the dollar there.
Okay.
For that. So you actually have the ability, you have multi-currency support, so you can have projects in their own currency, yet rolling up totals at the program level so that you can see what the total,
cool,
budget, what the spend against that
so
budget.
So you can have the euro, the pound.
You got it.
Trying to think, what's
the yen, the peso?
I was gonna say the drachma.
There you go.
Who did the drachma? Was that Greece? Oh, but they stayed on the euro.
Yeah.
They stayed with the euro. Okay, so
we don't want to talk.
We're not going there.
Finances in Greece.
We're not talking finance.
That'll end.
You know what? I love Greece.
I just,
it's a beautiful place.
It is.
Beautiful country. We're not going to talk to drachma. All right. I'll be quiet.
That's all right. Let's left turn then.
All right.
Okay. So couple last topics. In a half an hour or 40 minutes, that's not nearly enough time to talk about all the new features. I mean, they're packing this with new enhancements and new features. It's really going to be impressive. But the last couple things I do at least want to mention. For companies that do an awful lot of agile methodology for their project management. Yeah. So historically, project has been, very good for waterfall type management.
Okay.
And it would do agile management, but you had to kind of bend it a little bit. Yeah, tweak it. And so a lot of companies will either use maybe another tool like Jira or something like that to have their developers, do things like, report time against the product backlog, log bugs, stuff like that.
Right.
Associate story points.
Yep.
So this is all agile terminology.
Gotcha.
That's why
I have no clue as to what you're talking about.
I don't really either. But within the industry, those scrum masters know exactly what I'm talking about.
Scrum. See, there
scrum.
You go again.
There
I'm thinking, what's that game?
Rugby.
It's not football. Thank
rugby.
You. Rugby.
There you go.
I heard scrum. I think rugby, and
it
you're
came,
talking
it came
development.
From that. It came from that, yeah. So, you have, if you use Visual Studio for AppDev.
Yes, okay. I have heard of that.
Yeah, you have developers that write tools in C# or any other language that's supported within Visual Studio. They're used to working with that interface.
Right.
There has been a product called Team Foundation Services for a while now.
Okay. There has been.
Exactly.
That's
becoming
thing.
Visual Studio Online.
Yes.
Same capabilities, obviously improving, getting enhanced as well. You're going to have integration capabilities so that
with Project Online.
So your developers,
bam!
Exactly. They can continue to, report their time against the product backlog and put information in against the user story points, stuff like that. They can do all that in Visual Studio Online. That'll synchronize with your data in Project Online, and you'll be able to see task updates.
Right.
You'll be able to see those projects progressing, and you can see that, all right, we're in our third sprint now, and the project is roughly 50% through that third sprint. What does that mean overall? Are we two-thirds of the way through the project, one-third? You're going to have that visibility with that integration now between Visual Studio Online, what used to be known as Team Foundation Servers. And also third-party tools, I mentioned, like Jira. So there's going to be components. There's going to be a conduit so that you can have Jira communicating with Project Online and vice versa. So developers are updating information on, the work that they've been doing in the current sprint.
So they're not losing anything. If they've been using these third-party tools for a while,
we're not stripping it out and migrating
it out.
Yep. Nope.
We're giving you a lot more, so you may be able to retire. But if you're comfortable, rock and roll.
Exactly. Lastly,
out-of-the-box reports.
A whole slew of them. So Project Server,
Ooh.
Project Online, tremendous platforms, and they give you, what I would call self-service BI. They give you easy tools to build reports.
Okay.
They put report-building capabilities in the hands of, like the power user. You don't have to be a dedicated report writer necessarily. But they don't necessarily come with a ton of reports. It comes with a handful. That's going to be an enhancement coming down the road. You're going to see a lot more out-of-box reports because even though you do, you make the reporting tools easy to learn, easy to use, people are still busy.
Yes, they are.
Lots of us, that's great that it's easy for me. And, I'm just a business person. I can build a report. I would rather have you kind of give me a report that I need on a silver platter, maybe have me tweak it a little bit, check a couple boxes, and here's what I'm going to see. You're going to see a bit more of that. Yeah.
Cool.
A lot more Power BI.
I love
Yeah.
Power BI. You could be like
Fantastic.
The F1 team here.
Indeed.
It's like you are like a thoroughbred racer.
Exactly.
All right. Cool.
So, again, Customers that use Project Server on premises, you're going to see all of these new features when you upgrade, if you upgrade to an on-premises version, when you upgrade to Project Server 2016. For those of you that are in Project Online or evaluating Project Online, or you could go from an on-premises deployment, use a migration tool to migrate your data into Project Online.
Right.
These features are going to start to become lit up, you know, over the course of the next several months. I'm not on the product team, so I can't say, you know, this one's going to be active next week and then the other one 2 weeks later.
Sure.
But you know, they're going to be coming over the course of the next several months.
Well, and it's like we've done with everything in Office 365. Man, I can't even talk to you. Office 365.
Right.
With Office 365, we have regular updates to feature functions as well as doing all the background, you know, updates around system and patch management. But adding new features and functions, bringing them online iteratively versus this, you know, once every 3 to 5 years, this big mammoth, kaboom.
Right.
This gets you there, and this is where you're going to be going.
Exactly.
Very nice.
Thanks. So that's
It?
That's now, my portion.
So, Aaron,
yeah.
If folks want to get in touch with you.
Yes.
Let's say, you know, because you guys, so for your, for Vibrant Fusion.
Vibrant
Fusion. I feel like I should be saying it. Have you ever seen Ren and Stimpy?
Of course. Stimpy.
So, yes, so you remember Powder Toast Man? Powder Toast. That's what I feel like I should be going. Vibrant Fusion. So if folks want to talk to Vibrant Fusion. So where do you guys cover, first of all? Because you guys are working with a lot of top-notch organizations, helping them get the most out of this, really working with folks to get them going. Where do you cover, and how do they get a hold of you?
So we have a couple offices in the Mid-Atlantic region of the East Coast, but we've had customers.
But you're all over.
Exactly. We have customers on the West Coast of the United States. We had a Project Online deployment we did for a customer in Australia a few months back.
And you didn't invite me.
Sorry. Next time.
I've got an Australian bush hat over here, and they didn't invite me.
Good day.
Good day. Hey, mate. Crikey.
That's the beauty of the cloud, though. Project Online.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, occasionally a customer might want to meet with you face-to-face and have some meetings, but, you know, a lot of the deployment, a lot of the work can be done remotely.
So you guys doing it all over.
We really are.
So if they want to get a hold of you guys.
www.vibrantfusion.com.
And when you type it, you have to say it like you mean it.
That's
WW.
Preferably with all caps, preferably.
All caps, VibrantFusion.
Exactly.
.com. Very nice. Well, thank you. This has been enlightening. By the way,
thank you, Mike.
I just want to say, I pulled up our, we look really good, folks. So thank you for joining. So that was some great information. VibrantFusion.com if they want to get a hold of you. And again, if you're looking to do Project Online, this is one of those areas. You know, I have folks asking me all the time. There's that small little ad hoc type project stuff. But really, when we're talking about enterprise project management, Project Online is going to have the tools to get you to where you need to be to give you those holistic lookups. Not everybody in the organization has to have a Project Online license.
No.
Right?
We can help you. So if you're trying to wade those waters and you're trying to figure out, you know, what type of license do I need for the people within there? Yeah. The PMs will need Project Online. Your folks working on projects, reporting task status and stuff like that, there's a license called Project Light. They just need the Project Light license.
Because, you know what, so I don't want to, you know, people to think, oh my goodness, we have to license, we have 350,000 people, I got to do it for, no.
Not at all.
Just the folks that need it.
Exactly.
And it's going to be Project Light. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to get their work done. And it's. I mean, you've seen it. It's great stuff.
It is good stuff.
So, real quickly, before, I'm looking at the wrong mice here. We have multiple mice as I juggle multiple hats. If you're looking to, you know, thank you for tuning in today. This has been an MTC Studios production, Midday Cafe. We are worldwide at the MTCs. If you want to come in for anything around Office 365, we'd love to see you. Have you come on in. Next week, let me come back here. Next week on Midday Cafe, I forgot what I have upcoming. I just wanted to quick announce. So I don't even remember what we're doing. Oh, we have a Windows, I believe. Oh, no, wait a minute. Yeah, Windows 10. So awesome. We have a Windows 10 special. Actually, I'm going to have Todd first. So we're going to have Microsoft architect Todd first. We'll be in the house talking about the benefits of Windows 10, why you should and how to deploy Windows 10 to the organization. A lot of interest around 10 because of all the new security enhancements, manageability, et cetera. Folks who've been through our Office 365 or Office Pro Plus deployment briefings will find a lot of similarities, but we want to have you tune in. Look forward to that. So if you have any requests for content, please let us know. Again, you can always email us at worldwidemtcstudios@outlook.com. That's worldwidemtcstudios@outlook.com. Also, you can email or tweet me directly at Gannotti, at G-A-N-N-O-T-T-I, G-A-N-N-O-T-T-I. Love to hear from you. But with that, this is Mike and
Aaron
bidding you have a great day at
thanks,
Midday
everyone.
Cafe, saying thanks very much. And I'm going to see if I can get us into our outtake here. This ought to be fun. We are going to go to DDR1 is the third in. Dun, 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 dun. And we're just going to go to another screen here for our final bit because I can't get it all. My eyes are not that good. So I want to thank you. Have a great day. Take care. And as always, ciao.
Thanks, everyone.